Okay, I'm going to start here on the bottom of Chavdalet Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom. I'm Rabbi Huna, Haita Talito Chagura Lo Al Matnov, Mutar Dekrot Kriyat Shema. A person has basically girded around his loins, he has some sort of beged, some sort of clothing there, then he can read Kriyat Shema. Tanya Amihoch, we have a braita that says a similar thing, that Haita Talito Shel Beged Shel Or Vishel Sak, he has some sort of piece of clothing, whether it's made out of cloth, leather, or burlap, kagura, almotnav, that is tied around his loins, mutar the kroch kriyat shema. Aval, the tefillah, achi kaseh libo. But for tefillah, you have to cover his heart. So the premise here being that for kriyat shema, you only need to separate between the erva and the lave, which is, we'll see later in today's daf, whether it's libo, ro'et ervato. There's a requirement that your heart does not see the erva. So as long as you have something around your waist, then there's a separation between the heart and the erva. And that will permit you to say Kriyat Shema. But for tefillah, that's not sufficient. Even though it qualifies in terms of making you a gavra that's ra'ui to daven, there's something else that's missing. And that is, as Rashi says here, it's the top Rashi on Chof Eimur Aleph, a very important Rashi. Tzarech hu larot et atzmo ko'omeid lifnei ha'melech v'amod be'ema. When you're reaching Shmoneh Esrei, it's not simply tefillah now, but it's tefillah lifnei ha-melech. You're standing before God at that point. But kriyat shema inu medaber lifnei ha-melech. Kriyat shema is tefillah, but tefillah not standing literally before God. That's the amazing thing about Shemoneh Esrei. We take it for granted, but that we're able to walk and stand right before Kodesh Baruch Hu each day. But standing before Kodesh Baruch Hu both has two sides to it. It's a privilege, but it's also a responsibility. So the privilege to stand before Hashem also means that you're responsible to come before Hashem in an appropriate manner. And therefore, even though with the guards to the beged around Motnav, that's enough or sufficient in terms of being a gavra de ra'ui for tefillah, it's not enough to go before Hashem with a bare chest. Out the proper clothing to be omed lifnei ha-melech. So therefore, while it works for kriyat shema, it does not work for tefillah. And this has important implications in general in terms of how we approach Shemoneh Esrei. We talked about this a little bit when we said Hikon Likrat Elokecha, that there's an additional level of preparation for one going to davening besides coming to tefillah itself, but in terms of going into Shemoneh Esrei. When you go into Shemoneh Esrei, there's an added dimension, an added level of preparation and being ready to stand before Kodesh Baruch Hu. Over here you see that differential in the fact that you have to wear a shirt, you have to cover yourself, and it also appears in other ways, doing small things to prepare for Hashem. Also, some people are makpid only to cover their head with the talit during Shemoneh Esrei, because that's the time that you're standing with Nei HaMelech. Even though the Mishnah Berurah brings that one should cover already from the time from Baruch Hu or Ishtabach, nevertheless, the main area that we're makpid on is this Omeid Lifnei Hashem, when you're standing before Hashem in Shemoneh Esrei. Ram Rav Huna, Shachach v'nichnas b'tfilin debet ha-kiseh. Person enters into the bathroom with his tefillin on by mistake. Meniach yadu aleim ajigmor. So he should put his hand over them to cover them until he finishes. Anjig mor? He should finish everything? How could you say that? As he defecates, the first surge is over. After that, he'll stop and he'll remove his tefillin. The Gemara says, "We leave the altar. Why not stop right away and get it off?" The Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because the Prophet Shimon, the Tanya of Shimon Lamer, Amud Ochozer, maybe at Adamli Dehadroken. Person who has to defecate and holds in and does not relieve himself at that time, that causes this problem of Hadroken, as Rashi says, it's a sickness that causes the stomach to burst. So we don't want to have you hold in, not relieve yourself immediately. And the same is true of Silona Ochozer, maybe at Adamli Dehirakon. A person who needs to urinate and stops himself from urinating, does not relieve himself, that brings a person to Yirakon, and as Rashi says, Choli Shishmo, Galanatsia. So I don't know if that's related to the gallbladder, or some sort of jaundice, or something to that effect, from one not urinating at the proper time. If he has feces on his body, or his hand is inside the bathroom, or the area around the bathroom. I mean that he's situated far enough away from the bathroom where he could daven, just that he sticks his hand into that location, his arm is extended into that location, or again, he has some sort of feces on his body. It's okay to read Kriyat Shema. You cannot read Kriyat Shema. My time with the Rav Huna. What's the reasoning behind Rav Huna's position that it's mutar? Dechtiv, kol nishama te'elka. The nishama, here being literally nishima, the breath. Every breath will give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the only thing that needs to be in the location where it's ra'oi to daven is the mouth, the nose, the areas that breathe. So if that's in a good location, for instance here, where he's outside of the Beit HaKisei, he can express himself, he can say tefillah without any problem. Rav Chista, what's the reason behind Rav Chista? Amar Asur, the Krokodja, my time with Rav Chista, Tehtev, Kolot Smotai, Tomarna, Hashem, Mi Kamocha. All of my limbs will see to you, Hashem, who is like you. Kolot Smotai, Tomarna means that all of my limbs must be in a place that's Ra'ui L'Tefillah. And since here, either I have my arm extended into an area that is not Ra'ui L'Tefillah, or I have feces on the body, that will prevent me from Tefillah, being in an appropriate place for Kriyat Shema. Because I have one part of my body, one limb of my body that is not in a proper place. And here it says, Kolot Mutai Tomarno. My entire body will come before Hashem, express this before Hashem. As an aside, this is the source for shuckling during davening. The reason to move during davening is from this pasuk, Kolot Mutai Tomarno. All my limbs express before you, Hashem. How do all your limbs express? Well, if you're speaking, not all your limbs are expressing. So we shuffle, we move in order to show or have this idea express that all my limbs are speaking to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting, if you look on the Tosafot at the end of the previous Amud, he says, oh, the Psak Halacha, Rabbeinu Chananel says, Halacha is like Rav Chista. The also the Krot Kriyat Shema, that you are precluded from saying Kriyat Shema in this situation, because the Halacha is Lachmir. We go to Chumra, which says that you are not allowed to read Kriyat Shema in this situation, even though Rav Chista is a Talmud of Rav Huna. It should have paskin like the Rebbe, which is Rav Huna. Nevertheless, we opt to go like Rav Chista because it's the Chumra. Rav Alphas pasuk Rav Huna. And the Rif paskins like Rav Huna, that it's mutar likro Kriyat Shema. May the Akshay Gemara mine biyom aperakam mamuna. Since the Gemara in other places brings a question from the position of Rav Huna. So it seems like the Gemara assumes that that is the Halacha. So therefore he paskins like Rav Huna, and you can see here that the other Rishonim, Poskei Halacha, followed the Psak of the Rif. That Allah is like Rav Huna in this instance. Itmar, Reach Ra, Sheish Lo Ikar. So if you have a foul smell that has an Ikar, I mean the source of the smell is also present. Rav Huna Amar, Marchik Dalet Amot, Bekorei Kriyat Shema. Rav Huna says you just have to step 4 Amot away, and then you can read Kriyat Shema. Rav Chista Amar, Marchik Dalet Amot, Mimakom Shepasak HaReach, Bekorei Kriyat Shema. You have to distance yourself 4 Amot, not only from the source of the foul smell, but from the foul smell itself, you have to distance yourself for amot. Tanya kavati the Rav Chista. We have a writer that supports this position. Rav Chista lo yikra adam kriyat shema lo keneged soat adam, velo keneged soat kalavim, velo keneged soat chazirim, velo keneged soat tarnegolim, velo keneged hashba. So all these items here, it's talking about the item itself. You're not allowed to be facing this item. So one may not daven facing human feces. Feces of a dog, feces of a pig, feces of a chicken, and not opposite an ashpa, a dump of some sort, or a toilet of some sort, one can't face it. Shirei chara, any of these that have a foul smell, one may not be facing them. B'maya, makom gvoa sarat tfachim, onamucha sarat tfachim. If the location which you are in has a differential of 10 tfachim between you and whatever these items are, then Yoshev Bitsido Kuret Kriyat Shema. You can sit right next to it and read Kriyat Shema because you're considered to be in a separate reshut. Just like by Shabbat, Asarat Tvachim, Ten Tvachim creates a separate reshut. That's what a machitza of Asarat Tvachim creates a separate reshut. So to over here, you're considered to be in a separate location entirely. You're in a separate location, you can be right next to it and daven. Vim Lav, if you do not have that, then you have to be Machik Meloei Nav. Then you have to be at a distance where you can no longer see it. This is as long as it's in front of you. As long as it's in front of you, then you have to be at a distance where you're not looking at this item. Otherwise, if you have a separate reshut, that's fine. You can be right up against it. You just have to be a separate reshut. V'chein l'tfilah. And so is true for tfilah, for davening, and Kriyat Shema here of the same din. Reach rash yesh lo ikar. Now we're moving over to the foul smell. So in the first part of this braita, we're talking about the feces without the smell. See, obviously the smell comes in, there's a different din of how far away you need to be. Here where there's no foul smell, just the feces, then you have to distance yourself if you're looking at it from Miloi Nav, so you can't see it. If you're in a separate reshut, you can be right next to it, because you're considered to be in a totally separate location. Or, again, if you're around it, you only need Dalet Amot. If it's behind you or to the side, you'll need Dalet Amot. But here, again, all of this is dealing without a foul smell. Here, where you have Reich Vashyesh Lo Ikar, if you have the foul smell as well as the object itself, or the source of that foul smell, then Marchik Dalet Amot Makom HaReach. You distance yourself for Amot from the place that the foul smell terminates. The correct Kriyat Shema, and then you read Kriyat Shema. That's exactly like Rav Chisda. So Amar Rava, Leit Hilchata Ki Ay Matnita. That this halacha is not like this brayta, elikaha, but rather like this brayta. The Tanya, we have a brayta, lo yikra adam kriyat shema, lo keneged suat adam. Now the grua takes out, lo keneged suat klazivim, for lo keneged suat klavim. So it's suat adam and suat klavim. Bizman shenatano wrote the tochan. When you are curing skins in this soa, then they are problematic, because that accentuates the problem or the foul smell over here. So let's just understand this. First of all, Rashi says that the qualification of Zman Shenatano wrote the Tochan is only about Soat Kelavim. Rashi happens to mention it's about Soat Chazivin and Soat Kelavim, about the feces of pigs and the feces of dogs. The Gro eliminates it. He says in the Tosefta the Soat Chazivim does not exist. So therefore it would only be qualifying Soat Kelavim, which we do find elsewhere, which is Lo Yechratz Kelev Lishono. In Mitzrayim it says the dogs did not bark when Bnei Yisrael were leaving. And as a reward for that, the Medrash brings down their tzoah, their feces are used to be ma'abed, to tan, to cure the skins that are used for stam. So you see, that's part of their reward, that their feces are used for that reason. So again, the idea being consistent, that we're talking about tzoat klavim. But as Rashi points out, because when you put in the orot into it, then the smell is horrible, terrible. And that's something that is very potent, and the smell is horrible, and therefore it's a problem over here. Whereas soat adam is problematic, irrespective of whether you put orot in there or you do not put orot in there. So that's what Rav is saying. The halacha is not like the braita that we saw before, that the tzoah, when you're standing opposite the tzoah, it's a problem automatically. No, it's a problem if you're using it to cure, or you're using it in a situation where it's not as problematic. So Tzawat Adam is problematic, period. And Tzawat Klavim, as mentioned in Tanu Rot L'Tochan, is also problematic, as opposed to the previous Braita, which just listed everything. Tzawat Adam, Tzawat Klavim, Tzawat Chazirim, Tzawat Tarnagolim, which just had a full list, number one. And number two is it did not have a requirement of a rot, that there be skins that are placed in there in order to cure them. And as Tosavot points out over here, Ubidach Raita Lo Goritz Toat Tanagolim, the feces of chickens was not mentioned at all. Velo Polig Bahamat Nita Alel. And it doesn't argue on the previous Braita. So Tosavot says that the difference between this Braita and the previous Braita is only with regards to Tzawat Kalavim. Tzawat Adam is matched up. Tzawat Kalavim, here it says you need Orot in it. The other one doesn't need Orot. The other is where it doesn't mention it. Tosavot says that the Braita degree. If that's the case, then you have a problem with chicken feces. And that's a bigger issue for them, because they had chickens who lived with them basically in the house. They were in their yards, in their house, and they have chicken feces everywhere. Based on that, we have to say that chicken feces are problematic. It's only if you're in the chicken coop. Then it's a problematic, because then the smell is very foul. The chickens that run around the house and their feces come out, we don't worry about that at all. Tosafot talks about this in terms of a practical issue, that if you have chickens living in the house, their feces is not problematic like the feces that are mentioned in the Braita. So So now we're moving on to a foul smell, but the source of the foul smell is no longer there. For instance, a situation in which the person flatulates, person when they're passing gas, those types of things where you have a smell without any source. So if you go look at the mats of the Beit Midrash of Rav, there are people who slept in the Beit Midrash, they slept on the floor, while others were learning next to them. And Rashi says that when people are sleeping, that in an involuntary way that they pass gas, they flatulate, and then therefore the smell comes up. So it seems from that proof that no problem. If you have a smell without a source, that does not stop you from learning Torah. It says, "Vani mile b'divrei Torah." That's true by divrei Torah, because in breira, there's no choice in that case. Aval b'kriyat shema lo. Like kriyat shema, we don't say that because we'll just say to him, step outside, step away. You can quickly, kriyat shema is a short thing. You can step outside, you can go away from there and say kriyat shema. With learning Torah, it's endless. I mean, that you're always going to be learning there, therefore we can't inconvenience you and tell you to leave. And the Gemara says, that's only if the smell is caused by someone else. Again, where you're an onus, where you have, there's nothing that you could have done about it. But if it's your own, if you cause the smell to be there, lo, then you have to wait for the smell to dissipate before you continue learning. So over here, in terms of smell, we have a differential, a distinction between learning and Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema, which is something that is shorter, temporary. Over there we say, move yourself away from the smell and say Kriyat Shema. On the other hand, by Divrei Torah, there again we have a distinction within Divrei Torah, which is that if you are the source of the smell, then you have to wait it out because you caused the problem. On the other hand, if it's caused by someone else, over there you say you're an ones because you couldn't have done anything about it. We can't force you out of the Beit Midrash every time this happens, and therefore we say you don't have to wait, you can continue learning Torah. Idmar, soa overet. What about feces that is passing by? What is the din over here? Bayamar mutar lekrot kriyat shema. If it's passing feces, someone's carrying a bucket of feces right by you, you're allowed to read kriyat shema. Rav Amar asur lekrot kriyat shema. It's not permitted. Amar bayamina aminala. I can prove it to you from a mishnah in the Gaim. It's not. Hatamei omei tachar ilan. If a person who is a mitzora was standing under a tree with tahor over, and a tahor person passes by, tamei, he becomes tamei. Now, a person who is a mitzora, a nega, has the same din as tumat amet, which means that if you are in the same ohel with a nega, you become tamei. Just like by an ohel, if you share the same roof as a mate, you become tamei, tumat amet. It's the same thing here by tumat nega. We're going to see that there's a slight distinction between them, and that'll come out after we read the Mishnah. So here, if the tahor is passing through, and the tamei is stationary under the tree, then you become Tamei from Tumat Ohel of Nega. Tahor Omeid, on the other hand, if the Tahor is stationary under the tree, Tachar Ilan, but Tamei Over, and the person who has the Nega is passing by, Tahor, the person remains Tahor. Via Mamad Tamei, if the Tamei person stops, meaning the person with the Nega stops there, then Tamei, then you are Tamei. V'chein Be'eben Amnugat, this is not only true by a person who is a Mitzora, but if you bring a stone from a house that has a nega in it, it has the same din, and that is a hekesh between the ga'im, all the nega'im, and the din is the same. Rav Amar Lecha, hatam bikviuta tal yomilta. There is a difference or a distinction there. Because by tumata mate, it doesn't matter if you are stationary and the mate is moving under the tree, or the mate is stationary and you move under the tree, you'll be tamei in all instances, because that's tumat ohel. By tumat nega, or tzarat, that is not true, and that's what Rava points out. Over here, we learned it out of the pasuk, tichtiv, bad bad yeshev, michutz l'machaneh moshavo. He sits alone, he must be outside of the encampment. So when you're sitting outside of the encampment, it sounds like you have made a place that you are stationed. Somewhere where you are stationary. And therefore, only when the person who has a tzarat is stationary, does the other person affected by the tumata nega. So that's why when the tamei, or the mitzora, is stationary and the tahor passes under it, he becomes tamei. On the other hand, when it's reversed, the tahor is stationary, and the tamei person, the person with tzorat, walks through there, you're not tamei. So Rava says, the din by tzorat is unique to tzorat because of this pasuk of Badad Yishei. On the other hand, hocha, when it comes to Kriyat Shema, comes from this week's parsha, Vaya machanecha kadosh. Your encampments, when you go out to battle, have to be kadosh. The pasuk says about, and that you don't have over here. It doesn't matter if you're stationary and the other thing's moving, and you're moving, the other thing's stationary. It's machane kadosh. Your sphere has to be clear of any problem. Your sphere being very clear of any problem means that even if there's tzoah moving by you, that's not appropriate for you to say in Kriyat Shema in that instance. It doesn't matter if you're moving or the tzoah is moving. Either way, it's problematic. Amar Papa, hi chazir ki tzoah overet domi. The mouth of a pig has the same din as feces that are moving, the previous Gemara that we spoke about. Gemara says, pshita, of course it does, because the snout of the pig is always inside of the feces. It's getting messed up. It's in the dirt all the time. Gemara says, lo, tzricha, the afa gav the solik minaro. He just came out of a river. Pig just passed by here. He just basically got a bath. Nevertheless, we assume that his snout is always in the feces, and he's back to being problematic right away. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, suffik, so asura. Safek me raglayim mutarim. If you have a safek whether there's feces in this location or not, over there we say it's problematic and you may not say Kriyat Shema. On the other hand, safek miraglaim, if you have a safek of whether there's urine in that location, then you are mutar to read Kriyat Shema. So ikad amrei amar Rav Yehuda, some say that this is what Rav Yehuda said. Safek tzuah bayit mutarit. Vashpa surah. If you have a safek about feces in the house, over there you are mutar to read Kriyat Shema. Vashpa, in the dump, then it's a surah. The difference being that you do not expect to have feces in the house. So therefore, if you have a safek, we'll go to kula because we don't assume that there are feces there. The ashpa, the dump, is where you expect that to be. Therefore, if you have a safek, we're going to go to chumra. Safek maglayim, whether it's safek of urine, afilu bashpa nami mutarim. Doesn't matter whether it's inside or outside. Over there, we go to kula. Savarla kiha dravam nuna. If you must hold like this member of Ravuna. Dam Ravuna lo asrat torah l'kineged amud bilvad. The isur, the restriction of urine, is only when the urine is actually in front of you. Someone is urinating in front of you. There is a problem to say Kriyat Shema. But other than that, it's not. And therefore, in this case, we will go by suffix tzoah. Tzoah is problematic. Feces are problematic whether the feces are being produced now or whether they're just there. And therefore, if you have a suffix, we'll go to chumrah. It's a problem, right? It's a Torah problem to have feces there when you're reading Kriyat Shema. And therefore, if you have a suffix, we're going to go to chumrah. By Meira Glein, by urine, the problem del Raita is only when he's actually urinating. Then there's a problem. So in that instance, we'll go to Chumrah. But over here, where your person sees to urinate, and you just have the urine there, and we have a Safek, that's a Safek Derabanan. Safek Derabanan, we're going to go to Kula. Ukud Rabbi Yonatan, Dam Rabbi Yonatan, Rami Iktiv. Pasuk says, V'yati Elecha Mechutz L'machaneh, V'yatzata Shamachutz. Says that you have to have a bathroom, a privy, outside of your encampment, and when you need to relieve yourself, you will leave the camp. If you see that, say atecha. And then in the second pasuk says that you will have a specified location within your encampment where you will relieve yourself, where you will take a spade, and then you will cover over that which you produced. Haketzad, how could that be? One pasuk, this week's parsha again, one pasuk says you must leave the machaneh in order to relieve yourself. The other one says you can stay inside, you just have to cover it. So how do we reconcile? Kan bigdolim, kan bigtanim. The difference between defecating and urinating. So where you have to cover it up, that's referring to feces. When we're talking about that, what you just have to have a privy or a designated location, that's talking about urine. Do you see that distinction between defecating and urinating? So alma, tanim lo asra torah keneged amud bilvad. You see that the problem with regards to urine is only while the urine is being disposed of, when you're urinating. Hanaful ara, shari, once it reaches the ground, it's mutar. So what's the problem? We just saw all these gemaras that say you can't daven when there's urine there. Rabbanan udu gozru bohu. Rabbanan goes there by urine on the ground. Chigazru barambanan, bivada'an, abab sveikan lo gozur. And the Rabbanan, when they were gozer, only gozer when it's vada urine. It's a safek, they weren't gozer. I mean, that's almost a derivative of the fact that it's a gzeirah, because then you have a safek derabanan. Safek derabanan, we're going to go to kula. Uvada'an ad kamo. For how long, when you have vada urine on the ground, he urinated, and we know that there's urine over here, how long is that problematic for? Samar yudah meshmo kozman shemat pichin. As long as there's still moist there. If there's moisture in the ground from the urine, that's problematic. V'chein amar rabba barchan amar biyochan kozman shemat pichin. As long as there's moisture there, it's problematic. As long as you touch them, it's still moist, that's problematic. It's not about moisture, it's about the marking of the urine being recognizable. As long as it's recognizable that there was urine here, that's enough to be problematic, not that it has to be moist. Forgive Gneva for what he said. Because it clearly Rav did not say this, and he's quoting this something in the name of Rav that's incorrect. Hash the tzoa, when we're dealing with feces, I'm Rav Yudam Rav, kevin shekarmu panea mutar, that when it comes to feces, as long as the outside of the face of the feces has hardened, then it's mutar to daven over there. Meira glaimi boy. So by Meira glaimi, it's going to be any more chamur than that? I'm going to say, mushamam nikar, you have to go all the way to that extent by urine, when by feces, all you need is the outside to harden. Why are you relying on that member of Rav? We have another member of Rav. When you have feces, even if it hardens like pottery, it's still asur. That can mean that Gneva's right. Over here, by urine, he's still being makil, because by urine, it just says, rishumam nikar. By feces, it says, even if it's as hard as a rock, we'll call it, it's still problematic. So what's this case of tzoa kecheres? How do we know whether tzoa kecheres? Amar Rav Chanan, Rav Yochanan calls manches zorka be'ena nifrechet. As long as you throw it and it does not crumble, that is still problematic. If you roll it and it does not crumble, then it's still not hard enough. So until it reaches that hardness where it'll crumble when you move it, then it's still problematic, the feces. So Amar Ravina Ava Kamina Kameh Rav Yehuda Midifti Chazat Tzoa saw feces. Amar Li Ayin Ikamu Panel Yilo. Check if the outside, the face of it, is hardened or not. Some people say that this is what he said to him. Ayin Imiflai Afluye. See if it's cracking already. If it's cracking, that's an indication that it's hardened all the way through. If you see cracking in it, then it's okay. May Abi Allah. What's the din here? What's Alocha? So Itmar Tzoa Kecheres. If you have feces that is as hard as pottery, hard as a rock. Meimar Amar Asura, it's problematic. Marzutra Amar Muteret, that it's okay. Amar Rava, Hilchata Tzoa Kecheres Asura. When it comes to feces, even if it's as hard as pottery, hard as a rock, still Asura. Meiraglayim Kozman Shemat Pichim, and when it comes to urine, as long as there's moisture there, or it's still moist, then it's problematic. Correct. It has to be moist enough that if something touches it, it will absorb that moisture. As opposed to, we're going to see in a second in the Gemara, which is tofeach, amanat atfiach, that the other object picks up the moisture and then is able to pass that moisture on. So here the requirement is simply that it's moist enough that if an object touches it, it will absorb that moisture. Meitave, meiraglaim, kozman shemat pichim asurim, that as long as they are moist and they cause something else to absorb that moisture, they are asurim. Nivlu'u, oyabshu, mutarim. If they are absorbed or they dry out, they're mutar. My love, nivlu u dumyu de abshu, that the absorbed into the object is similar to drying out. If shu would be, for instance, if you urinated on a stone or a rock, then it, if they evaporate, if the sun beats on it and it evaporates, then it's fine. Nivlu would be in the ground, into the earth, into the dirt. That would be the case that you're looking for, nivlu. So Gemara says, let's draw a parallel between nivlu to yabshu. My yabshu to in rishumam nikar. Just like by yabshu on a stone or a rock, if you urinated there and the sun beat on it, it would not be recognizable anymore. Af nivlu to in rishumam nikar. Same requirement should be by the dirt, that until their marking, their demarcation is no longer visible. Harishumam nikar. If it's still invisible, asur. Af agav to in matpichim. Even though they do not convey moisture. When it says, what are you going to say about the first half of that braita? As long as they convey moisture, then they are sur. Ha rishumam nikar shari. From the first half of that statement in the braita, it sounds it could be medayek, that only conveying moisture is a problem, but rishumam nikar is mutar. You can't prove anything from this braita, because it could be medayek in both directions, and therefore it's inconclusive. So let's say this is a machloket tanaim about how far you have to go with the urine. Klish nishbichu mimenu meraglayim asur likrot kriyat shma kinegdo. A urinal, which has urine been poured out already, you can't read kriyat shma kineged opposite that urinal. Umeraglayim atzman shnishbichu, and the urine itself that's spilled, nivlu'u mutar, if they've been absorbed into the ground, they're mutar, lo nivlu'u asur. As long as they convey moisture, they're problematic. So my nivlu'u, how do you distinguish nivlu'u from matpichim? There's an argument between Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. So my lo nivlu'u, what does it mean that they're absorbed and not absorbed? The kamar Tanakama, yilema nivlu'u de ein matpichim. If you say they're absorbed, that they not convey moisture, lo nivlu'u de matpichim. And not absorbed means that they still convey moisture. Va'ata Rabbi Yossi de meimar, kol zman shematpichim hu da'asur, arishumam nikar shari, hainu Tanakama. That means that Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakam are saying the exact same thing. El nivlu'u de in rishumam nikar. Lo nivlu'u de rishumam nikar. It must be that the Tanakam is talking about nivlu'u and not nivlu'u. That is, the mark of the urine is still visible or not. Harishum nikar, whereas Rabbi Yossi, at the Rabbi Yossi, the Meimar, calls Mashavat Pichim. Rabbi Yossi says that's not the qualification. The qualification is the conveying of moisture. Hu dasur, harishumam nikar. The location is visible, but it doesn't convey moisture, then it's mutar. Everybody agrees that the conveying of moisture is the determining fact over here. Harishum nikar shari. If the location where the urine is visible still, that's still okay. Question of how moist they have to be. So we discussed this before, that matpichin here means that it conveys moisture. how much moisture must it convey? So here are the qualifications. Tofeach al-manat al-piach. Do you have to absorb enough moisture that if something touches this object now, it will become wet? Or is it just absorb enough moisture that it itself is wet, but it will not convey moisture? And that will be the machloka between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi over here. How wet do you have to be? Rabbi Yossi says it just has to be wet enough that it absorbs. The object here absorbs the moisture and that's it. The Tanakhama says, no, not only does it have to absorb the moisture, it has to be able to pass that moisture on to something else. And this is a halachic measurement that's used in many places. Tofeach, amanat tofeach. For instance, Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, where it's asur, rechitza, we are not allowed to wash. Over there, you're allowed to place moisture on your eyes to clean them out or clean your face. If your moisture is only enough that it's tofeach, that it moistens that area. But if it's amanat tofeach, if it's enough that if it touches that area, it would also be matpiach, it'd be problematic. So if you take a cloth that is moist, if it's enough moisture that the object that it touches will absorb and that's it, that's fine. If it's so moist that if you touch that area, that it'll create moisture that can wet something else, that'll be problematic. So again, this is a halachic term of tofeach, amanat lafiach, that's used in other places. So we're back to the Mishnah now. If he goes down into the mikveh and now kriyat shema comes, we said there, if he's able to get out and cover himself and say kriyat shema before netzachama, fine. If not, he remains inside. So lema tana stam like Rabbi Eliezer. Sounds like this Mishnah is like Rabbi Eliezer. Damar ad netzachama. This man from Kriyat Shema is ad netzachama. That's why we're telling him to get out and to do it right away before netzachama. It says afilu tamer Rabbi Yeshua. It's even according to Rabbi Yeshua. Doma kavat tikin. It's like Rabbi Yeshua, but there's a benefit to doing it before netzachama because then you can daven kavat tikin. Damar Rabbi Yochanan vatikin ayu gomrim otayim netzachama. The vatikin finish Kriyat Shema with netzachama in order to be someh gula tefila and daven shmonesre right at netzachama. So over here, we're encouraging him to do this because of vatikin, not because that's the end of Zman Kriyat Shema. Bimlav yitkatzeh b'mayim yikra. V'arei libo roe et ha'erva. How could he read while he's in the water? The water is clear. He's standing in the water and now his leiv is roe et ha'erva to. So Rabbi Elazar says, as some say, that it was Acha Bar Avo Bar Acha, and that his grandfather's name was Acha Mishum Rabbeinu. And the name of Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu is used in the Gemara in two different contexts. Sometimes Rabbeinu means Rebbe, the other times it means Rav. Depends on the context of who you're speaking about, whether it's the name of Rav or the name of Rabbi. But Mayim Akurim Shanu, over here we're talking about clouded water. The damukara smichta, because the equivalent of solid earth, shalo yireli bohet ervatos, that he cannot see, his heart may not see, his erva. So you can simulate wearing clothing by muddied waters, unclear waters, that has the same din as wearing clothing. Now Rashi points out over here, va'are libo roet erva, which is coming up in the next Gemara as well. Rashi says, kasacha datcha ko ever shen darko li rota te erva, any limb that normally does not see the erva, it's a violation of lo yireh b'chayev v'tavar. There cannot be any erva visible. Not visible means to an eiver that normally does not see the erva. That would be the problem here. So that's what the Gemara is now going to discuss, extending it beyond the heart. So Tana Banan, mayim tzulim, if he has clear water, yeshev behen ad tzavaro b'koreh. He sits in him until his neck, and then he reads. V'yeshamim ukran b'raglo. Yes, the stimulate the dirt, yasto, dirty or muddy the waters by moving his feet around. Tanakama, what are you going to do with the Tanakama? Really, buru et arva. His heart sees the arva. How could it be that he's sitting in clear water? Because Zabarli buru et arva mutar. He thinks that a heart seeing the arva is not problematic. Vari akivo, ru et arva. What about his heel? His heel sees his arva. Because Zabarli akivo, ru et arva mutar. That is mutar. Itmar. Akevo roet erva mutar. If his heel sees his erva, it's mutar. Nogeya, but if the heel is touching the erva, bayamar asur, rav amar mutar. Bay says it's problematic, rav says it's mutar. Rav Zvid matin la hai shmaita ochi. That's the way Rav Zvid brought down this memra about the heel. Chinana breda ravika matin la ochi. He had a different version of this. Nogeya divriya kol asur. If the heel is touching the erva, everybody says it's asur. Roet. If the heel is seeing the erva, bayamar asur, rav amar mutar. Bay says it's problematic, rav says it's mutar. Lo nitna Torah lo malachei asharet. The Torah is not given to the malachei asharet. Malachei asharet don't have an erva. They don't have this problem. The hilchot olalach is nogei asur, roem mutar. If the heel is touching the erva, it's problematic. If it's just visible to the erva, that is mutar. The difference being, in general, even touching it, even heel touching the erva is not a problem. The problem here is that if the heel touches the erva, you might come to touch it with your hand. And that would be problematic. So because the heel touching is similar to having contact with the erva, over there the rabbanim will osir it. Whereas ro'eh, if the heel simply sees the erva, that's not a problem, because the only problem is erva, which is his heart sees the erva. It's libo ro'eh ervato. That's where it's problematic, but not where ekivo, his heel, sees the erva, because the person doesn't have to be covered so perfectly that no other limb can see his erva. Just that the normal areas that are separate, like the upper half of his body, should not see the lower half of his body, because if you cover your loins, if you cover that area, the upper half of the body is separated from the lower half of the body. Tosafot says over here, when it comes to inclusion of our Gemara, libo ro'e et erva, the heart seeing the erva, should be asur. That's what it sounds like from our Gemara, that kuli alma, or the way the Gemara leads, is in that direction. He says, but Rabbeinu Shmaya, the Talmud of Rashi, says, pas like le tana kama, libo ro'e et erva is mutar. Nevertheless, he says in the Gemara, and for the Gemara, it sounds like it should be asur, and that's the way we paskin that it is asur. Akevo, by the heel, we pass, and that's only problematic if it's nogeya, not if it is visible. Amarava. So Ava Shishit, you have feces inside of glass, mutar the krot, kriyat shema kenegda. You can read kriyat shema opposite that. Ervava Shishit, if you have an erva, something where you're not allowed to read opposite an erva, means someone that is naked, for instance, that's behind glass, asurly kriyat shema kenegda. You cannot read kriyat shema opposite it. So about Shishit Mutali Kro Kriyat Shema Nekda, why can you read Kriyat Shema opposite feces that's found behind glass? The Tzoa ki be kisui talio milto. Tzoa, the only problem is it needs to be covered. Ha michsaya. And it's covered. The issue here is separation. Separation doesn't matter what type of separation, as long as you're separated. So if it's behind glass, it's separated. Erva ba shishita sudikro kushmak and egda, because it says, Gloria Bacha Erva Tavar Amar Rahmano. The problem is sighting of Erva in order to be a problem. Vahakimitchazio. And this is visible. Since it's visible, it is problematic. So by the way, this is very interesting because Rav Moshe Feinstein has a huge chiddush when it comes to mechitza. In shul, we have mechitza between men and women. The question is, why do you have a mechitza between men and women? Moshe has a huge chiddush based on a raivid in Masechet Tamid that the issue of mechitza is negiya, inability of men and women to touch each other. That's the problem. And as long as you have a mechitza that's high enough to prevent them from touching each other, that would be sufficient. Others believe that the mechitza is there to separate, not only because of negiya of touching, but also because of visibility, that they shouldn't be able to see each other. Therefore, according to Rav Moshe, if you put up a glass mechitza, it'd be totally fine. Moshe says seeing the women is not the problem. The problem is negiya is simply becoming into contact with the women. And therefore, a glass mechitza would be totally fine according to Rav Moshe. And that...
that's not erva.
Correct. Very good. But the problem is, and Rav Moshe points this out, the women don't cover their hair. When the women don't cover their hair, seyar b'isha is an erva. It's one of the arayot of a woman is her hair. And if the women come to shul and don't cover their hair, the mechitza being glass will not suffice over here. Because if the women are visible from the other side of the mechitza and their hair is not covered, you can't read Kriyat Shema. And therefore, it can't be made out of glass. You can only have a glass mechitza when the women are dressed appropriately, when all their ervot are covered. If the women are not dressed appropriately, then you need a solid mechitza. That is a big nafkamin here in terms of erva behind the shishit, behind glass. That if women do not cover their hair, then the mechitza cannot anymore be made out of glass. It has to be something that covers in the sense of not being visible. Even according to Moshe, who says that mechitza is there for separation, only negia, over here, he would also require it to not be visible because of the problem of erva. The Rosh Hashulcha is matir by Seir Beisha Erva to say, Kriyat Shemayin, Kenegad Seir Beisha Erva, because he says that Dashba Rabin, people today, he's melamed zchut on people, but today that women don't cover their hair, it's so common practice that women don't cover their hair, that it loses its status as an erva. And therefore, you could read Kriyat Shema even opposite a woman's hair that's uncovered. He doesn't love it, he's melamed zchut on people to do that. It brings up a general question, which is, what do you mean? How do you change an erva not into an erva? If something's an erva, it's empirically, it's objectively an erva. How do you change something like Seir B'Isha Erva into something that's not an erva anymore? And that might be because the problem with Seyar is not like other Erevot. Other Erevot are inherently problematic. They are Erva because the woman's body is uncovered. Those locations on the woman's body are an Erva period. On the other hand, when it comes to Seyar, the way the Gemara learns that Seyar Bishar Erva is from Sota, that you uncover the hair of the Sota, meaning that a woman's hair is normally covered. But you see from that, that it has to do with what the norm is. And therefore the Erva of Seyar is determined by the norm, not by this objective standard of what is Erva. And so based on that, the Aruch HaShulchan wants to be l'melamed zchut on people today, how they can say Kriyat Shema even with women's hair that is uncovered. Alright, Amar Abaye. Tzoa kosho mevadla birok. If you have just a little bit of feces, you take saliva and you mevatel it. Amarava barok ava. It has to be thick saliva. Amarava tzoa beguma. If you have tzoa that's in a crack, miniach sandalo alea v'koreh. You step on top of it, and now you can read Kriyat Shema, because now it is hidden, it's no longer there. So by Mar Berei the Ravina, tzoa dvuka b'sandalo mai. What happens if he steps in feces and it's stuck to his sandal? What's the din? Over there he says teiku. We don't know. Again, it's not visible. It's below his foot. It's on the heel. It's on the base of the shoe, but it's still on your shoe. So what's the din there? There we leave it as an unresolved issue. Amar Rav Yehuda, akum arum asur likrot Kriyat Shema kenegdo. A naked non-Jew, you cannot read Kriyat Shema opposite him. Mayri akum. What do you mean a non-Jew? Afili Yisrael na'ami. Even a Jew that's naked, you can't read Kriyat Shema kenegdo. Yisrael b'shitalei da asur. By Yisrael, we are clear that it's asur to read keneged a naked Yisrael. El akum itzrechilei. By akum, we have to say that. Ma'udu teim, I would have thought, oh, b'ktibu asher basar chamurim b'saram. And Yechezkel wants to describe him. It says that their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. Ema kechamur b'amu. Maybe from a halachic status, they should be classified like a behema, like a chamur. And we know that there's no issue of saying Kriyat Shema opposite an animal, because animals generally are naked. So Kamashalan, inhu nami kriu erva, that by non-Jews, they have a halachic status of a ver of a human, not that of an erva of a behema, dichtiv, vervat aviyem lo ra'u, by Noach. It says that when the two brothers, after Cham does something wrong, when Shem and Yafet come in to cover their father, it says, they did not look at their father's Erva. So you see over there, we're talking about a Ben Noach, and it's still called Erva. So therefore, any human being has a classification of Erva, not simply Jews. So this is the last line of the Mishnah. One should not use foul, putrid water or things that they soaked flax or hemp in. Actually, until you dilute them with water. But kama maya, Rami? How much water do you have to put on there, Bazil? I mean, it takes a huge amount of water. El achi kamar. You have to parse the Mishnah differently. Loit kasel, lo b'mayim arim, lo b'mayim shrat, halal. One may not go into putrid smelling water or into these waters that had soaked flax in them, period. You can't say Kriyat Shema on that because you can't get rid of the smell. That's it, period. Meira glayim. Comes to urine, actually tell it to chan mayim vikra. By urine you can dilute it, and then you can read Kriyat Shema. Tan Rabbanan, kama yatilu tochan mayim? Kosho. How much you have to put in over there? Mayim kosho, any amount of water is enough to dilute it. Zakeh omer revi'it. You have to put in a revi'it alug of mayim. Zom Rav Nachum makloket l'besof. That's only after you urinate, then you have to put in either a revi'it or a kosho. Alo b'tchila, everybody agrees, if the water is there beforehand, koshein, any amount is sufficient. Yosef Amar, machloket dechatchila, the machloket is in the beginning. Aval esof, there we are called revit. Afterwards, everybody agrees you have to pour revit in. Amrlei Rav Yosef l'shamei, Rav Yosef said to his servant, Aitili revit demaya k Rabbi Zakkai. Bring me a revit of water like Rabbi Zakkai in order to dilute the urine so that I can say Kriyat Shema over here. Now, as Rashi points out, the reason if water is there first, then we don't worry about it, even kosher works, is because we say the principle of kama kama batil. That as each drop of urine goes into the water, it's batel to the water. And Rashi's the shittato here, that when it's batel, when you say kama kama batil, that's forever. If urine going in, even though the urine exceeds the amount of water there, since each drop of urine as it went in is batel to the water, the urine never becomes relevant over here. You can see there's a little star there, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger points to Tosafot in Avodah Zarah. Tosafot in Avodah Zarah disagrees with Rashi. He says, Kama Kama Bato works until the rove. If the urine becomes the rove of the mixture, Kama Kama Bato doesn't work anymore. So Kama Kama Bato is only relevant until the point of Rov. Rashi says that it's completely relevant. That's Machoket Rashi and Tosafot in Avodah Zarah. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Gerev Shorei, Bavit Shomei Raglayim. We're talking about a potty or a urinal. Asur Lekrod Kriyat Shema Kenegdan. You cannot read Kriyat Shema opposite them, even though they're empty. Afal Pi Shem Ben Klum, even though there's nothing in them now. Umei Raglayim Atzman, when it comes to urine itself. Actually, until the tochan ma'im, until you place water in them. Come here, until the tochan, how much food must you place in there? Ma'im kosho, any amount of water. Rav Zaki Omer, revi'it. Rav Zaki says that you have to put in revi'it ma'im, same machlok that we saw just before. Ben lifnei amita, ben le'achar amita. Doesn't matter where they are found, whether it's on the same side of the bed that you are on, or on the other side of the bed. Shem gomle omer le'achar amita, korek. If it's on the other side of the bed, you're allowed to read. If it's on the same side as the bed as you, you're not allowed to read it, and you have to distance yourself for amot and read it. Shimon Lazar Amar, Philip Beit, Me'a Ama Lo Yikra, that even if you're 100 amot, the distance between you, you're not read it, actually, you'll see until you leave that area, until you take that out of there, Oshi and Echam Tachan Amitar, they're placed under the bed. Yibaylu, Hechika Amar, what is meant over here? Achar Amitah Kore Miyad. Lifnei amita marchik arba amot. When we're talking about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion, when he says the harchakat arba amot, what is it modifying in his statement? Is he meaning this? Achar amita, if the urinal is on the other side of the bed, read right away. Lifnei amita, it's on the same side as the bed, marchik arba amot v'koreh. You distance yourself for amot and you read. Odel ma'achik amar. The achar amita, if it's on the other side of the bed, that's what the arba amot is modifying. Marchik dalet amot v'koreh. You distance yourself for amot and then you read. Lifnei amita, it's on the same side as the bed, ain't no correct cloud, then you're not allowed to read at all. Tashma, the Tanya, we have a bright, Rabbi Shimon Lazar Omer, achar amita kore miyad. On the other side of the bed, you read right away. Lifnei amita, marchik arba amot. It's on the same side as the bed, you distance yourself for amot. Shimon Gamliel Omer, afilu beit mea ma lo yikra, shiotziim, ochinechem tachan amita. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that even 100 amot separation between you, you're not allowed to read until you take them out or you put them under the bed. So now Baran says, "Bayin ifshatolan." We answered a question, but matnita kashin adodi. But now you have a problem between the two brightot. So we see there is that distinction between lifnei amita and achar amita. A problem now is the brightot argue on each other. Meaning that the brightot bring Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion in the first bright as Rabbi Shimon Elazar in the second brighta, and Rabbi Shimon Elazar's opinion in the first bright is now Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion in the second brighta. But it says ipuch b'traita. Flip the opinions in the second brighta. Where it says, "My chazita da'apach b'draita ipuch kamaita." Why are you flipping the second brighta? Flip the first brighta. Where it says, "Man shmaile damar kule bayit k'arba amot." Who is the opinion that says that a house, a whole house, is the equivalent of arba amot? Rabbi Shimon Elazar. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And Rashi observes, says over here about this opinion of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Says, "Lo yadati eichan hu." I don't know where this opinion of Rabbi Shimon Elazar appears in Shas. The Gemara takes it for granted that's his opinion, but we don't have anywhere else in Shas that it's found. And you look over here, there's Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger over here lists every place in Shas that Rashi says, Lo Yadati Eichani. I don't know where this is from, I don't know this. Every time Rashi says Lo Yadati, here's the full exhaustive list according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, where Rashi says that same statement. So I'm Rabbi Yossi, by me name, Rabbi Rav Huna. Yosef says, I asked Rav Huna, Mita pachot mishtosha pshitolit kolavot domi. A bed that is lower than three, has less than three tvachim between it and the floor, kolavot domi, it's as if it's sealed up, it's as if it doesn't exist. And therefore, if you place the urinal underneath there, it's not a problem. Shlosha, arba'a, chamisha, shisha, shav, shmona, shtisha. If it's from three until ten, ma'u, what's the din? Amalei lo yadano. I don't know the din. Asara, ba'dai lo miboili. When it comes to 10, I don't have a question. It's a good thing. It made sense that you didn't ask about 10 tefachim, because every 10 tefachim is considered to be a separate reshut. So the bed is higher than 10 tefachim, then anything under it is not covered by the bed, because the bed now is in a separate reshut. Less than 3 tefachim is kolavud domi, as if it's sealed up. 10 tefachim is a separate reshut, and therefore it doesn't cover it. I know the Baimine Rav Yosef and Rav Huna, but lo pashitle. And between 3 and 10 is the question posed by Rav Yosef to Rav Huna, and we didn't get an answer about that. Amarav, aloch like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Aloch is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. If it's under the bed, it's okay. If it's next to you, either you or the urinal has to leave the house. Chenamar Bali, Amar Yaakov Brab, the Bat Shmuel. And so it says Bali in the name of Yaakov, who's the grandson through his mother of Shmuel. And over here we reference back to Rashi, Kantad Zayin Amud Aleph, where we explain the story that Shmuel's daughter is married a non-Jewish man who converted after the fact. And therefore, Rabbi Yaakov's lineage is ascribed to Shmuel and not to his father, you see? Halacha Rabbi Shimon Elazar, halacha like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Amar, ain't halacha Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Rava, who's a Batra, says halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Elazar. By Gerav Sharei, when we're talking about a potty, over there, Rashi says Shocheres, we're talking about pottery, where it absorbs the item that's there. The urinal and the potty are objects that absorb. That's what it says, about Klid lo bala, kagon zepukit, and shard the shari. Based on the way Rashi is describing the potty and the urinal here, the problem, even after you empty out the urine or the feces, is the fact that they absorb from them. But if you take an object that does not absorb, like glass, maybe it would be mutar. So he leaves that as a safek. He at least enters the possibility that it should be mutar in this instance. And then he says that the addition of water, revit mayim, might only work by urine. That's where it might help. But by a potty, it would not help. Because of the difference. Meaning when urine, you're talking about a liquid, so therefore a liquid can dilute it and solve the problem that it may not be true when you're talking about a gerif. V'achai isei klei lebrei bei Rav Yitzchak. Rav Achai took care of his son to get him married off to the daughter of Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Bar Marta. Aile lechupai, and brought him into the chupa, v'loi mistayim milta. So they married him off, and then for nisuin, they were unable to have biat mitzvah. It wasn't working out. He went after his son to check out what was going wrong over here. Chazu Sefer Torah de Mancho. He saw there was a Sefer Torah in the room in which the new bride and groom were living. Amaluhu, he says to Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Iku Hashto, Lo Atai Sakunto Nabri. Whoa.
Had I not come.
Now you put my son in danger. How could you put a Sefer Torah inside the room of the newlywed couple? How'd you do this? The Tanya, we have a bright bite sheish po sefer Torah utfilin, a house that has a sefer Torah utfilin in it. Asur l'shamesh bo atamita. You're not allowed to have marital relations there. Achiyotzi'eim ochinechem kli b'tokli. You may not have marital relations there until you remove it from that area, or they're a kli b'tokli. They are in a double wrap. That's only true when this is not the designated kli or cover for this object. This is what we mentioned on Friday's daf, that if you have multiple kelim, but all those kelim are designated as covers for the object, they're normally used as covers for the object, they're considered like one cover, one kli. And that's the situation that we have with tefillin. Tefillin that are inside their boxes, that are inside of a tefillin bag, that are inside of a talus bag as well. All of those are considered to be one covering, according to the Mishnah Berurah, because they are all designated to cover the tefillin. And since they're designated to cover the tefillin, they're all considered to be like one keli. And therefore, in order to have a double covering over your talus or your tefillin, you need to add an additional item around them. And that's what the Gemara says here. Amrava glima akamatro kli b'tok kli. If you have a piece of clothing, a cloak, that is thrown over an argaz, over a chest, that is considered to be like a double covering. So the chest is considered to be the location of the item, a single covering, and then the throwing a piece of clothing on top of it is creating a second. So it's over here, by the tefillin bag. If you wrap it up in a piece of clothing, you put it into a bag that's not usually its cover. You put it into a suitcase over there, that is qualifies as a double covering because you're placing it into something that's not normally its covering. So all the normal coverings that I have are classified as a single covering. You add on the additional item, it becomes like a double covering. Okay, we'll stop over here.